Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Eric Rowell, the CTO and co-founder of UiFlow. Good morning. And you, it is morning for both of us. We're both in the Bay Area. Good morning, Eric.
Yeah, good morning. Super excited to be talking with you.
Yeah, me too. It's always fun to talk to a fellow techie from the Bay Area. And as you know, looking out the window, we have another beautiful day here in sunny California.
Yeah.
So to start with, can you just share a brief background of yourself and your work history?
Yeah, I guess brief background. So we started UiFlow on election day, actually November 3rd of last year. So we're a pretty new company. Before that, I was the head of data visualization at Workday. So myself and my team were in charge of building out all of the data viz capabilities for the whole company. And before that, I was at Platfora, LinkedIn. I was the architect for the homepage at LinkedIn. Hmm. And also I was on the video player team at Yahoo. So a lot of experience building UI frameworks, graphics, several open source projects that have over 1,000 GitHub stars. Wrote a book about HTML5 Canvas in 2011. So pretty much a decade of experience with UI and graphics. It's been pretty fun so far.
And I have to ask you, I know where you live and I know where LinkedIn is. Did you commute to LinkedIn?
So I have lived all over the Bay Area.
Okay.
I think Livermore is one of my most favorite places because it's kind of out from all the hustle and bustle of the of the classic Silicon Valley area. But it's close enough logistically that I can get to San Francisco and the South Bay pretty quick. But I think when I worked at LinkedIn, I was actually in an apartment in Mountain View, so I was pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty close. That's maybe 10 minutes, so that's not too bad. But still, back then, that could have been a 30-minute commute.
Yeah. But as we'll talk about, maybe in terms of commutes, I mean, that's the better end of the spectrum. Mm. My worst-case scenario was when I was at Platfora. I lived for a brief period of time in Manteca. You probably, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's like an hour and a half east of the peninsula. So I would drive an hour and a half west to San Mateo and then an hour and a half back to get home.
Wow.
Which was a pretty brutal commute.
That is, 3 hours a day is brutal. So, well, let's talk about UiFlow now. What does UiFlow do? You and I talked about it. It seems like you're trying to fill a pretty big void in the market out there, right?
Yeah, I'm super excited about UiFlow. So I know it might be sacrilegious to say this, but I think front-end development is broken. And that's because, I mean, even today in 2021, there's so much time in between the moment you have an idea for what an app should look like and how it should work until you actually have an application working. There's too much stuff that you have to go through to get that to happen. So what we're interested here at UiFlow is figuring out, like, what's the next evolutionary step in software development? How can we enable people to express themselves and just build applications faster without too much time setting up architecture and build systems and all of that. So we're really focused on enabling people to build applications at least 10 times faster. There's a handful of ways that we can do that, but we are primarily focused on the enterprise use case right now because we feel like that's the biggest gap and the biggest opportunity. That's because, you know, late at the end of 2020 and then currently in 2021, enterprises are becoming a lot more open to the idea of using no-code tools to accelerate their software development. So some good examples would be Zapier for automating workflows and Webflow for creating, you know, static marketing web pages. But what enterprises are really struggling with these days is figuring out how to accelerate their app development for really rich consumer-grade types of applications.
Yeah, and when you say app, you're not referring to mobile apps. You're referring to the typical, what's always been an app is back-end applications, correct?
Yeah, that's a great clarification. Yeah, we are so currently focused on web applications at the moment. We do plan on expanding to other platforms like iOS and Android as well. So our system, our no-code tool for building applications, it will be translatable to other platforms.
Very cool. So you just mentioned you started on election day, which if I remember right, was November 3rd or something.
November 3rd, yeah.
So you started out as a remote company. You had to. Right.
Yep.
Unless you broke the law.
Yep.
I mean, what was that like that first day where you start a company and you're all in different places?
Yeah, I mean, I questioned my sanity a lot during that time because I was, not only was I leaving a really stable company and a really great company, Workday has like one of the most amazing work-life balance. Just like the culture is great, like everything is great. So I left that to start a startup, which is risky during a moment when the world is falling apart. But there's a saying that's always that I think about a lot, which is like, you should never, I think it was Winston Churchill who said that you should never let a good crisis go to waste. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of partly felt like, you know, when the world, like in that current situation, when everyone is working remotely, it kind of is a good time to start a startup, because the early stages of a startup is all about like the inventing process and the innovation process and just really wrapping your head around a problem, either in isolation or with a co-founder. So I went ahead and went for it just because of there's lots of things that kind of lined up well, but I think it's gone. Luckily, things have turned out pretty well because we did get pre-seed funding right away. We hired a few great people. We were lucky to get into YC as well. And then we raised a seed round as well. So right now we have at least, you know, a couple of years of runway. So those things are looking pretty good.
That's quite successful for, you know, less than a year. That's actually very impressive. So
I think it's mostly luck and what our angel investor would call is the wave. There's a true like wave of a need for no code capabilities right now.
Absolutely. Well, there's just a need in general for code.
Yeah.
Right. There's no doubt about that. So now you're a remote company. You've started hiring. You've done all this remotely. Has that posed any challenges that you didn't expect, or did it go actually more smoothly than you expected?
So far, no challenges. The truth is, I'm very active with hiring right now. Mm-hmm. Almost at least 90% of the really good candidates that I've spoken to, I literally spoke to a candidate from Facebook 20 minutes ago. Same situation. They're being asked to go back to the office, and they don't want to. They've had this taste of freedom, where they can have like an amazing work-life balance. They can work, shut the laptop lid, and then go have dinner with their family. And there's no waste of time in commutes. And like people, like engineers really, most engineers that I've spoken to really love that type of work, life balance. So it's been easy just because like lots of really good people are fleeing from their companies and startups, like, especially ones like ours that was started during the pandemic, where we've been 100% remote the whole time. Like those are the types of companies those folks are looking for, where it's just like day one, 100% remote. So it's been actually not too bad.
Yeah. And actually, I know I have a friend that works at Facebook, and September 1st, they're encouraging people to come back to the, because they built that big complex. They got to fill it.
Yep. Lots of folks from Apple as well, saying you've seen the headlines with Apple. So it's a thing. Yeah. I think these large companies, they're going to experience a little bit of pain when they lose a significant amount of their workforce. Yeah. So I think they'll have to make some adjustments.
And you don't have an office, but if you were to, let's say, open up an office in San Francisco, you and I both know the commute from Livermore to San Francisco in the morning is brutal, right?
Horrible. I don't like the BART. BART's really the best option, but it's not that enjoyable.
Yes, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And so does that mean that, you know, now that things are opening up, you're just going to stay remote and continue to be a remote company? Something changes drastically?
Yeah, that's the plan. We've seen there's been companies in the past who have been fully remote, like GitLab is one good example. They were fully remote since the beginning. They're doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think unless something drastic happens, that's the plan. There is an importance in getting people together every now and then, at least just so we can like improve like the relationship and the connections with each other. So currently what we're doing is like, you know, for folks who are like where there's clusters of folks in one area, we'll like schedule like lunches and stuff. Like it's never work related. Mm-hmm. Like we just kind of get together and like have lunch or dinner. And we do plan on having a more formal, we don't know how often. I would guess maybe 2 or 3 times a year, we'll actually fly everyone down mm-hmm. who's not in the Bay Area. And we'll like do something together for a day mm-hmm. Just to keep those relationships good. But other than that, yeah, fully remote.
Yeah. And I think a lot of what you probably realize is if you're not paying for an office space, that can go
to
sales and marketing or developers or whatever the business needs, right?
That's a huge deal because I think before the pandemic, I think there was a stigma for startups that if you didn't have an office, you weren't legitimate, you know? But these days, like the expectation is that you don't have an office. We mm-hmm. don't have to battle that stigma. So you're right. Like by saving all of that money that we would have spent on offices, we're actually doing that now. At UIFlow, we pay far above average, even in base salaries, competitively with the big companies. And that's because we don't have to spend millions of dollars on a fancy office, right? So we can reallocate those funds to get just really, really good people.
Yeah, and if you need a meeting place or, you know, meet a customer at a, you know, place that's professional, there's a lot of that. And I think that business is actually going to explode over
exactly.
there. Right.
Yeah. Businesses like WeWork or places where you can rent out an office space for a short period of time and just kind of revolve that door. I think we're going to see that more and more mm-hmm. as we go.
Yeah. So, well, you know, Eric, it's great talking to you. I really wish you a lot of luck. It sounds like you're hiring. So if you are hiring, why don't you
hiring.
Tell people where to go if they're looking for a job.
Yeah, please. Probably the easiest place, you could go to our Twitter account, which is UIFlowHQ. Send us a tweet. If you search for Eric Rowell on LinkedIn, you can find me and connect with me and send me a message. But we're looking for specifically UI engineers and SREs at the moment.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, again, it was great talking to you. Now that things are open up, next time I'm in Livermore, I'll look you up. When you're over in the peninsula, look me up.
Yeah. Awesome. Fun conversation. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.